welcome to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller. On this week's show, random beer talk. And because Seth Cook of Wooden Legs Brewing likes to talk the basics, we begin with the basics: water, grain, hops, and yeast.
Those four components, really, that's what this entire craft beer movement, that's what our business is based on. You know, that's what, you know, we talked about laws, we've talked about history, we've talked about styles. It's really how we spin these four things together, intelligently, deliberately, but at the same time, creatively.
Because there's almost an infinite number of ways these things can be combined.
And Seth believes that's what gives brewers the edge over winemakers.
Often when people come on the tours here, I say that winemakers, and I love winemakers to death, but they're the victim or the victor of the vintage. And that was pretty heavy. But the point being is that in order to make a Shiraz wine, you need Shiraz grapes, you know, or Merlot. And you know, there's areas of the world that really have some exclusivity on the grapes. So the grape growing is critical to the winemaking process, and that's fine. But that kind of leaves you a limited palate. Don't get me wrong, wine is an incredibly complicated and wonderful beverage.
And if you wanted to in that back room, you could make virtually any beer style in the world.
And that's what's cool.
Except maybe a lambic.
Yeah, besides a lambic, is, you know, we could replicate a lambic. Couldn't make a true one, but we could replicate it. But with the exception of that, there is very little beer styles that we couldn't make. And what makes that so cool is that not only do we have the technology to do that, but we have access to ingredients. And I think that is the thing that has made craft beer such a cool movement, that has made craft beer so popular in the last, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years.
At the present time in the United States, you can find virtually any beer style you can imagine. That was not the case before the craft beer boom.
If you wanted a really good German beer, you'd have to end up in Bavaria somewhere.
And, or maybe New Ulm, Minnesota.
Right, or New Ulm, right? You at least have to drive, right?
Yep.
But if you wanted a proper English pint, you know, if you wanted a cask ale.
You were out of luck.
And those are the ones people would know. I'm talking about the obscure ones. Like, if you wanted some of the obscure sours or things that really only came from the underside of a monastery somewhere, you'd have to travel very well. And in the 90s, you know, now many years ago, people would seek those out because they couldn't get them.
And if you wanted them fresh, well, you had to go to that country.
Exactly. What has happened, and I love this, is that most American citizens now have a better access to styles and well-produced versions of that same barley, malt, hops, yeast, water than any of our ancestors, than probably anybody in the history of mankind.
And because of the craft beer movement, beers that had virtually died out, the Saison, some of the sours, are now almost commonplace. More Beer Untapped after these words. Welcome back to Beer Untapped with Perry Miller and Random Beer Talk. Seth Cook of Wooden Legs Brewing in Brookings says Americans currently have greater access to beer styles than at any other place at any other time in world history, and that's really not an exaggeration. Here's an example. Recent tap lists just in Brookings and Sioux Falls at brewery tap rooms shows various stouts, a number of sour and fruit beers, porters, at least three different Irish reds, box, doppelbock, scotch ales, wheat beer, saisons, lots of IPAs and pale ales, cream ales, even a Belgian quad. Pretty amazing.
The people that live in the U.S. right now have a better access. And I say U.S. specifically because the U.S. has done such a good job promoting the craft beer scene. There are some countries that have embraced the craft beer
for sure.
Atmosphere, but not to be.
Where else can you get a Grisette, an Imperial Stout, and a hazy IPA at the same brewery?
Within, like, the taps
at the same place, yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
We are in the golden age of beer, and I know people talk about the craft beer bubble and how many craft breweries can the U.S. sustain and how does this work. And honestly, I don't think it's a bubble. You know, I think it's a matter of the populace, our friends and family and neighbors have begun to embrace some of these new styles and realize that there's more than one way to drink a beer and none of the ways are wrong.
Seth says there are new people discovering good beer every day.
And just to look at our craft beer board, that seems so close-minded because that's what we curate and what we make, and that's just a microscopic vision of what I think I want to drink for craft beer. But if we were to step back and look at the beer menus from any place that's within shouting distance or walking distance of us and look at the magnitude and diversity of the beer selection, it is awesome. And we're just talking about four ingredients. These are just four ingredients.
And sometimes you just some weird adjunct on occasion.
Right. Plus,
but yeah.
plus apricots or something.
Right.
but the basics are just four ingredients.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
So if you haven't done so yet, give this stuff a try.
What I would encourage people to do, what my call to action here, is to go out and try these craft beer places. There are so many styles. Not all craft beer is the same. Not all craft beer is hoppy. Not all craft beer tastes like you've just mowed the lawn. That is a great interpretation of some styles. Not all craft beer is dark. Not all craft beer is bitter. Not all craft beer is high in ABV. Like, if we looked at, if you look at the number of types of beers available, I think there is truly a beer for anybody.
That's Random Beer Talk. Now go have a random beer. Until next time, drink local and drink responsibly.